This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Let's get into some buy or sell today on this Wednesday afternoon.
Now you're talking.
Yes. Thank you. Buy or sell. You like buy or sell? Yeah, because talking.
I like it.
Okay.
And the Pink Floyd in the background.
Okay. I brought up Brent Vegan, the head coach of Montana State. Do you buy or sell that he should get a legitimate interview with Colorado State? A guy that's won a lot at Montana State, but they...
Okay, before this week, bye, but after...
Oh!
Sell.
And if UNC beats them...
If...
Should Ed Lamb...
No.
No. Love Ed. I don't think it makes sense for a team that probably wants a fairly significant, quick turnaround, don't you think?
Yeah, CSU wants turnaround fast. Like they want stop on the dime, move the other direction. That ain't going to happen with Ed Lamb.
No, that's not his style. You gotta give him the time that he needs. No question about it. Buy or sell, RJ Harvey is the actual joker for the Denver Broncos over Evan Engram. Buy or sell, Michael?
I think it's a little too early to say.
You got to do one or the other, then. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm going to sell it.
You're selling it? So does that mean you think Engram is the Joker, or they don't really have one of those guys established yet?
We don't have the sample size.
Well, we have a sample size.
We don't have
enough. Last week was a sample size of R.J. Harvey being the Joker. I felt like definitely... RJ was doing jokery things. Not the Joker, the real Joker, the MVP Joker, the NBA champ Joker, three-time MVP, but the other Joker.
Not like Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Right. Nikola Jokic is like the Heath Ledger Joker.
So like the second best Joker.
Who's the best Joker?
Mark Hamill.
He plays a cartoon.
Still the best Joker.
He just has to sit in a room and record. He's not acting.
Dare you?
Voice actors aren't acting. They're just saying stuff into the microphone.
Gaslighting me.
Am I acting right now? Fine. Whoever the best Joker is, that's Nikola Jokic. This Joker version that the Broncos have been looking for is more like Jared Leto. Like, that's the Joker. We haven't seen it. Who is that? Who is it? Sean likes to talk about it. Is it even a real thing? I don't know. I think it's RJ Harvey. He's not Jared Leto, though. He would be... If you're saying Mark Hamlin or whatever his name is, the Star Trek guy, if you're saying that he's the best Joker, then that's Nikola Jokic. And then you would say RJ Harvey is on his way to becoming Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But we still don't have enough of a sample size. Like we have a sample size. Enough of one.
We have a sample size.
But enough of one.
Well, maybe we'll see this weekend against the Houston Texans how the Broncos operate against, statistically, one of the best defenses in the league, Houston. So they go from Dallas, one of the worst defenses in the league, to Houston. But again, stats can be confusing, Mike. Stats can be confusing. The Texans have played some bad teams and I think held Baltimore to a low score total. They beat Tennessee 26-0. That really helps out your average if you have if you post a shutout or two or close to it.
That was without your football, Jokic.
Do you mean the most electrifying man in all sports and entertainment?
Yeah, your football Jokic.
That's not it. No, that's not a football Jokic. There's no such thing as a football Jokic. That's just Lamar Jackson, the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. That's different than the top five greatest basketball player to ever live.
Well, I just feel like you have a certain, you know, you deify Jokic in a certain way, and then you deify Lamar Jackson in kind of the same way. So that's why I call him your football Jokic.
I recognize talented players. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't just be you and play fantasy football and select, I'm only going to select Broncos. You literally did that.
And I beat you that year, by the way.
You did. That was dumb. That was dumb. But you can't even play fantasy football like a real person. You select every Bronco. It's all you do.
That made me very happy, by the way.
That you beat me? Because I was the one that gave
you
the most crap.
No, that I got to play all the Broncos.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I like to recognize great talent, that whether that's on my teams that I root for or not. That doesn't make me a bad fan. That makes me a fan that pays attention. That makes me a real sports fan, unlike you who just says the Broncos are the best and there is nobody else in existence.
No, other people exist. I just root against them.
You root against everybody. So who are you rooting for tomorrow between Baltimore and Miami? You don't ever just root for teams even though they're not the Broncos? You don't ever just sit down and watch a game, crack open a Mountain Dew, and just root? You don't do that?
I mean, I hate both teams so much.
You hate the Dolphins and the Ravens?
Yeah.
You hate them?
Have you not seen how the Broncos play in Miami? They don't play very well, especially in 11 o'clock games.
Yeah.
Did you see that 70 to... Oh, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm rooting for the Baltimore.
There you go. Is it because
Broncos
the most
have lost
electrifying
to Baltimore?
Man in all of sports entertainment is returning to the field tomorrow night?
Broncos have lost to Baltimore twice in the playoffs, but damn it, the Baltimore Ravens didn't put up 70 points on the Broncos defense.
Which is worse? The Broncos lost to the Ravens in the playoffs or the Dolphins embarrassment?
I mean, technically, it's not being able to go to the Super Bowl. It's not being able to move on and not going to
the Super Bowl. And they probably win it that year if they get in.
Yeah, so they really should have won. And they lost at home, too.
And that one's worse.
Yeah, like that probably is worse, but like I'm still more angry about the 70-20 loss. I mean, just watching an entire defense play
it was terrible.
So lazily.
It was a bad game. Did you think Vance Joseph would survive after that? Like, there was no part of my brain that thought Vance Joseph would continue to be the defensive coordinator for the Broncos going forward. And look what he's done.
Well, I didn't want him to be fired, but I thought that they would have to fire him. I thought that there would be some kind of, like, I thought heads would have to roll after that. But Sean Payton stuck to his guns. It's like, no one's going to get fired. They did cut one player, but I'm glad they didn't. I don't think it was fully his fault. I saw a lot of just lazy defense. And the offense didn't play well, but, you know, the offense was the offense that year. But just lazy football. Lazy defense.
It was
bad. Like,
you
can't say Miami was good, but they weren't that good. The Broncos just played so terribly. It was like they didn't even want to put on their uniforms and play.
It was bad. It was bad. I get it.
Yeah, it was really hot outside, so they're like, eh.
That was when I thought, oh boy, is this Sean Payton thing, like, how bad is this going to get? That was awful. Denver, I don't have the numbers in front of me anymore, but Denver and Miami since have done the complete opposite of each other. Denver's gone on to be pretty darn good, making the playoffs last year. Miami went from the darling of the NFL to how many more games does Mike McDaniel have left?
Maybe he can be ball boy for the Broncos again.
Life comes at you fast, Mike.
Or he
and if
can...
you don't slow down, you might miss it. 14 minutes after the hour, Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, coming up. Are the refs keeling Riley Moss softly?
Yes.
Yeah, let's get to that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Time for Keeling Me Softly, and Keeler kind of thinks the referees are keeling Riley Moss softly. Maybe not even softly anymore. It's just right out there in front of us, man.
Yeah, it's not so soft anymore. They're killing him hard. It's premeditated ref violence right there.
Does feel like premeditated referee violence on Riley Moss. I mean, and Moss, Sean, like, I think, again, with what we get to watch, we don't get every angle, and maybe you do, but I just get what the common folk get on the television. So I don't get to see from start to finish how Riley Moss is playing, but here's the obvious answer. It just seems like Riley Moss is always right there. A lot of times guys just make great catches.
Yeah, you have to consider the quality in the context of the competition, too.
But right.
I think the other thing, and this is unfortunate, is sometimes, and this is no shock, our reputations precede us. If people have the word out on you, or another coach or another official or someone says, hey, and the refs say, no, we don't do that. Yeah, you do. You're human. If there's an idea of this is someone who, in basketball, commits a lot of fouls. Or the way that Garrett Bowles used to, kind of hold a lot. And like Bowles, I guess it's upon Moss to recognize or maybe get some intel as to where some of this scrutiny is coming from and what he has to do to stop it. If he's got to buy somebody a picnic basket or Easter flowers to stop this happening, he might want to do that because they're gonna need him. We got an interesting 3 weeks coming up on that front.
Yeah, well, and this is what I wonder about, too, with Riley Moss. Is his job going to get a little easier with Patrick Surtain out? Because they're not going to just go to him every time. They're going to maybe spread it out and go all over the place.
No, that's a good point. And that's the other kind of spillover this that doesn't get talked about quite as much is it's so lopsided. What is he like? He's got to be top five in targets, right? Or is he one
gotta
or
be.
Two?
Yeah.
I think he's one or two. Because it's like, I ain't going there because PS2 cuts off half the field. Well, if he cuts off half the field, you get all the field. It's all coming to you, baby. Or mostly they're leaning that way. So yeah, I think it's going to be, what do they say? The internet democratized media and opinions. I think the passing game will be democratized. But frankly, ironically, what Houston does or has done without Nico Collins has been pretty democratized anyway. If you saw a little bit of that Niners game, it was scary diverse and really scary spread around.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. And how big of a drop-off do you see this defense taking with Patrick Surtain out, Sean?
Some, but it's going to depend on the matchups. Again, if Houston's got, depending on what Collins does or doesn't do, you've got a lot of pretty good receivers. Kind of like the Broncos, you've got a lot of pretty good receivers. You don't have a Lamb and a Pickens that just shoot right out at you. It's going to vary week to week. I'm not sure that PS2 in this game would have mattered so much as what the safeties are going to and what the nickel guys are going to do. But if that's the trickle, but if the trickle effect is you're going to have less Jody Marin and less McMillan in the middle because you've got to kind of spill them outside more or diversify, which I don't think they're going to do. I think they're going to go Moss and Abram Drain on the outside. Then there's some carryover there, but Houston's a little different approach. And I think either way, it comes down to if the strength of your D gets home and can get to Stroud in time and cut those short lanes off. We'll see. But he's got a quick release, man. I think this is a tricky matchup for this defense with or without PS2.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting matchup all the way around. Houston is fascinating. You know, if you look at their defensive numbers, I mean, they're tops in a lot of the major categories that we talk about. But they also shut out Tennessee. They caught Baltimore at the right time and held them to a low scoring amount. So sometimes you can look at the stats and they can be deceiving a bit, but it does feel like Houston is kind of figuring some things out, and Stroud certainly having mostly a bounce back year from a season ago.
Yeah, and to your point, sometimes in this league and in this schedule and the marathon that you play to get to New Year's Eve and then through to 2026, it depends on sometimes when you play somebody. Would Bengals Broncos look different if it was Joe Flacco? Yeah. I mean, would it look much better for Cincinnati? Probably not, but it would have been, you know, a pulse and not just a shop window dummy getting pounded by Nick Bonino all night and Jonathan Cooper. So that timing matters. I'm not sure this is great time. It's weird because it's good timing for the Broncos, obviously, in that you're coming off probably your most complete performance of the season. You swung a game that everybody thought would be close and some people thought might be a Dallas upset. You win going away. But you're best player, and Houston's playing just coming off one of its best games against the Niners, who are also pretty beat up the way that the Cowboys are beat up. So push? I don't know. It's a tricky one because we got to do our picks here for the paper here pretty soon. It's a Wednesday, and we usually do this stuff by Thursday. And it's I'm heading out there, as you know, on Saturday, and I'm curious to see how that lands. As well on Sunday morning, because I do think this is a lot more challenging on paper than Dallas was, because they've got a defense that can match you and give your weaknesses problems and won't just let you run the ball the way Dallas's defense, that might be the worst NFL. I covered the Bengals on a beat for 3 years, right, in my 20s, the early aughts, the Bruce Coslett and Dick LeBeau Bengals. Dick LeBeau, good guy. Bruce, interesting guy. And I've never seen a run defense as bad as what Dallas put out there like 25 years. I mean, that was Quinn Miners should just keep that footage for life and just tell his kids, this is how good I was friggin' Anthony Munoz out there. I was erasing people, and he's good. I don't know these Anthony Munoz, but that's what it looked like. And that's how bad Dallas is. Houston will be a completely different kettle of fish defensively, and I think that's gonna have to make everybody raise their games a little.
No question. Yeah, I think it's going to be a completely different opponent coming up for Denver. All right, so the Broncos did end up signing 41-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis to the practice squad. You put out a piece earlier that's like, Broncos, Sean Payton need to give quarterback Bo Nix Cadillac at NFL trade deadline, not a Mercedes. Well, they're gonna roll it out here, man. Pretty desperate for a tight end, and it's not a knock on him, but he's 41 playing tight end.
Yeah, and he's just there to block. Basically, you know what he's there to do? He's there to do what Paucho did. While Paucho he's there because of the Ben Powers injury, right? They like going too tights. They like to have the 12 set, the one back, the two tight. I think I've got that right. One back, two tight ends. To run out of and occasionally do some screen game and mix it up. So, yeah, he's essentially there. Funny thing is, and Mercedes Lewis was a good player for a long time. I remember him in the 2005 Sun Bowl. He was in the same draft as Jay Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
That's how long Mercedes Lewis has hung in the NFL, and good for him. I don't fault him that. And he's there to basically be a tackle. More or less in what they want to do, and as a situational guy. He's a big guy. He's smart, he's sharp. You know, it's literally a savvy KG veteran. You just go, here you go. You got one night to learn the playbook. Let's go. And we got one of our toughest games on Sunday. You can plug it. He'll probably not be active on Sunday, but you never know. I just wish they'd shoot a little higher, because it's clear you've got a team that is as good as your Super Bowl aspirations and Super Bowl talk want it to be, right? You're 6-2 now. Even if you go 500 the rest of the way, you're going to be a postseason team. Now it's about winning. It's about winning the division, right? You set goals, you set staggers. If you're Sean Payton, you're the Broncos. Now that you've got a division lead, you're through another unbeaten October, and what's the get fat part of your schedule? It's about winning the division. It's about getting that home game. But then it's about winning games in January. And I would think I would be willing to give up a fifth, sixth, or seventh rounder for Minnesota to get another wide receiver or an upgrade at tight end for this team with a quarterback on a rookie contract as opposed to just sitting on those. But that's easy for me to say, and I know in real life it's hard to do because nobody wants fifth, sixth, or seventh unless they're just trying to get somebody out of the locker room. You know what I mean? They're going to hoard those and try to hit you up for round four or better, and NFL GMs don't want to give those up.
Sean, all that aside, you know, with the moves that they might make after the fact, I don't know how aggressive they're going to be, but just looking the rest of the way, you said it. I mean, even if they go 500, they're probably still a playoff team.
Yep.
Where do you think they end up? Like, how many wins do you think they finish up with? I thought the over under this year for them was like 10.5 or something. Do you think this is like a 12-win team potentially?
I mean, potentially, but if it's going to be a 12-win team, you got to win Sunday. You're going to need to get – so there's a lot of coin flips the rest of the way. And you can argue that, well, based on if they're better than last year, you should sweep Kansas City. Although, what do we take out of that second Kansas City game? I don't know. You take a lot from that first one.
Yeah.
You can't deny it. That was a win snapped away at the very end, basically, that you probably get 99.0001% of the time. So, I mean, the takeaway where I think it could be a 12-win team. I think everybody asked me of the rapid fire where they went into 10.5, and I said under. And what I didn't qualify is say, because I think they'll go 10-7. I still think 10-7, now you're feeling like a worst case scenario, if that helps you. Like, I think this is what this month has done, getting some of the kinks out, and assuming you can adjust for not having your best player for 2 to 4
weeks.
In a tough part of the schedule, you could win. I don't think you're going to win more than 12. I think between 10 and 11 still feels like a pretty good number, and I think it still feels like a playoff team, but I don't know if it's a playoff team that hosts. But could you get there? Yeah, because if you're 12-5 and say you have to sweep Kansas City to do it or at least get one, you've probably won the division, and then you've got more of your fate in your hands and that stuff we talk about. If the goal is A, hosting a playoff game, and then B, winning a playoff game, step, moving forward, then that home game, having that here, just helps a bunch compared to what they've done on the road.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. This Houston game is huge because if you can pull that off and get to 7-2, you've got the bye week with the Raiders and should be able to take that. Yeah, you should be able to get that. You could be 8-2 before you go up against in that monumental game against the Chiefs on November 16th.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's what's kind of big about this one coming up. And you can pad your conference record, which isn't great. And you've got some work to do on the division because of the tiebreaker that the Chargers have. If they could stop chartering and kind of get back to where they were. So the Colts conference games are going to pick up import. Boy, Sean Payton in October or something else. And
oh my
Sean
gosh,
Payton
yeah.
in October against the NFC. I think it's either 10-1 or not. It's pretty clear. I don't think there's more than one loss, if any, here in the last three seasons since he's come. So that's what he knows. It's what he's done. And now we get to the stuff that's really going to count. And I think now what this month has done is it's got you looking forward and looking down at everyone rather than looking up and in a position to have some control. I think this week and next is going to determine just how much control that you have, because the Chiefs aren't dead. We keep trying to, God, it's the night of the Halloween week. It's night of the living dead. We keep trying to bury the Chiefs, and they find a way. And as teams with generational quarterbacks do, as long as they're sitting on that generational quarterback, they're always going to be close to finding a way.
Yeah, it's every year. It seems like, the last 3 years, we keep thinking, oh, at some point the Chiefs are going to fall, but
right.
Here they are again. Going to make for a very. I hope you know what. Let's go both teams. Let's go. Kansas City comes in at whatever if 7-3, and the Broncos are 8-2, and let's just make that awesome and have that be one of the Broncos' biggest regular season wins in a very, very long time.
Yeah, it sets up well, and I think you might. I think you're probably 7-3 is the worst case yourself. So I think you've got, if you want to look that far ahead, it's definitely for all the marbles and a tiebreaker leg up, and you're probably going to have at worst 2-7-3 teams. Pretty close getting into that, or no worse than 6-4 on the Kansas City side. Yeah, this is going to be a fun November. Colleges, maybe not so much.
Not so much.
The Broncos side, yeah, not. Although I think the Buffs will win this weekend. I do. Because
really?
Not that we were going to go there. Yeah, just they're so inconsistent, right? The only thing we can predict with the Buffs is they're going to be up and down. Well, it's up time.
Yeah, you know? that's decent point. Look at Iowa State and then what happened with
right.
Utah.
I always remind myself when I was sitting there Tuesday and he wasn't quite as chipper, Dion, as he was last week. No shock. We weren't talking about elk in moose in Estes Park this week. I think when they get humbled, everybody has to kind of eat the pie and go back at it and dig in. I don't think Arizona's that great. I think the Buffs are good at home, or at least feel like they've got it swinging at home. I think they're a different team on the road. Although, going forward, West Virginia's no great shakes. So, you know, somebody asked me, I looked at it, and I'm completely digressing, but with the remaining games on the Buff schedule, I think you've got one pretty sure L at K-State, depending on how that lands and where the Wildcats are. And then three coin tosses, frankly, because you've got the two Arizona schools at home. And ASU you wouldn't like on paper, but it's not until you had Tempe, you'd have no shot. But you got it at Boulder. So we'll see. If they would not get this one done, the whole Juju talk is going to start bubbling up again. It's going to get loud, and they're going to have to ask some harder questions than I'm allowed to not ask going forward. But I think they're going to win. I do somehow. I think that was a nadir moment, and then at 4-5, we'll see. Are there two more wins there? I mean, maybe, but I don't know. Maybe one.
Yeah. Is Juju, I mean, is there any, are they in any fear of him going elsewhere next year?
A little, but it depends on who you ask. And there's a lot of fear about a lot of things that someday we'll get into, but we will see. We will see. They're, it's them, so you never say never. In prime land, you just don't.
You never do. Sean Keeler, always appreciate it, my friend. Great work as always. Fascinating articles, fascinating reads, and we'll look forward to what you come up with next week.
All right, thanks, dude. Talk to you.
All right, Sean Keeler, the Denver Post. Always appreciate his insight. Michael, I tell you what, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. On the Rocks Liquor, got our beverage of the week. It is a Penelope Black Walnut Old Fashioned. Ready to pour over ice and enjoy. Sure to keep you warm these next few nights. Also, their Halloween sales are ramping up. They got deals throughout the store on beer, wine, and spirits. Amazing deals on Fireball and Buzzball. Buzzballs sure to make you howl. Swing by today out on the Rocks Liquor. Get ready for your next Halloween celebration on the Rocks.
They're spooky.
A little spooky. A little spooky. You got any Halloween plans other than producing a high school football game?
I plan on producing Good Morning NoCo, and then Coach Speak, and then the whole show.
Yeah. And then the Rocky Mountain College kickoff.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain College.
And then the high school football game?
I might. Hopefully I can. Wow. I can get a nap in between.
Wow. That's a busy day, man.
Yeah.
You've been putting in the work. I do. I give you a hard time, but you are a very hard worker. Well, you're a very worker. No, Friday you're going to be putting it in, man. I feel bad for you. If there's anything I can do to help.
If only we could get food from a sponsor.
Well, talk to the people. Talk to the pizza guys around here. Maybe they'll hook you up. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I always, I have a tradition I do. My wife doesn't like the movie, so I do this by myself. But I watch A Nightmare Before Christmas every single year. Usually I start it like right when October starts, but I love that movie.
Christmas or Halloween or both?
It's a Halloween movie.
It's both.
No. It's tough. It feels more Halloween because it's dark and creepy throughout, you know? And then there's just kind of the one thing at the end when he's being Santa. But it's still creepy, and they're always in Halloween Town or where, whatever it is. So I think it's a Halloween movie, Michael.
I think it's a movie that you can watch year-round.
I don't find myself necessarily thinking, let's watch Christmas movies. Oh, let's watch A Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't. So for me personally, it is 100% a Halloween movie. It's a great movie.
So it's like it's a Halloween movie. It's not as Christmas as Die Hard.
Die Hard is also not a Christmas movie because the theme is not Christmas. Although Nightmare Before Christmas theme kind of is Christmas. Now I'm confused. Maybe it is a Christmas movie. I just don't recognize it as that. Can we say that? Is that fair to say?
What's fair to say is Mike is right.
You might be right, but I don't recognize it as a. For me, it's not in the Christmas movie library.
Okay, so you're not recognizing my knowledge or my wisdom.
No. I try to refrain from that. Boy, Micah, this game against the Texans is a huge game. If they can pull this one off, they are they're a point and a half dog at this point. It started as a point and a half favorite. Maybe that was the Patrick Surtain news. I don't know. But they got a realistic shot. They got a realistic shot to win this. And then you got the Raiders coming up. They could be 8-2 by the time they take on the Kansas City Chiefs. They could very well take a stronghold on the AFC West in the next 3 weeks. No, by the time we get to December, the Broncos could be up a game or so in this division and maybe beating the Chiefs. Because I think the Broncos can beat them this year. I do. I don't know if they will. But last year was close. And I think Denver's a better team than they were last year. Kansas City, yet to be determined if they're better than they were last season. But this is a monster game. Heck of an opportunity. This is when the great teams start to kind of separate from the pack, and the Broncos did that last week. But it's Dallas, whatever, bad defense. This is that game, because I think Houston's starting to come on strong here, and if you can catch a team, you're catching a team when they're feeling pretty good about their situation, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. So this is not going to be an easy task by any stretch, but if they can get this one done, you're on a pretty clear path to ensuring that you're going to be a playoff team, but maybe more.
And getting that first round, bye-bye.
I was going to say it, then you went ahead and said it first, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Because Mike
started today.
If the playoffs started today, that Colts game is really going to come back to haunt them, though. If this thing ends in a tie between the two, because the Colts will have the tiebreaker. The Patriots right now have the tiebreaker over the Broncos based on best win percentage in conference games. It's also why this Houston Texans game would be huge. I'm not saying I'm not there with you on that conversation. Beat the Texans on Sunday, and We're talking Monday about not only back-to-back years of playoffs, not only maybe winning the AFC West, but getting that number one seed in the AFC. Maybe. It's going to be tough, though, because the Colts are playing ridiculously good football right now.
You're using way too many maybes for my comfort.
Well, I can't sit here and just say, yeah, they're going to win. They're going to beat the guaranteed going to beat the Texans and guaranteeing to win out. Colts are going to have to lose two games, and the Broncos are going to have to keep winning. And that's just where we are. 48 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn on the show today? Coming up next, don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Don't sweat. Get it, NoCo, with cooler temperatures upon us. That only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this Wednesday, Michael? On this 29th day of October? Maybe we learned that if the Broncos beat the Texans this weekend, we're talking about big picture stuff, Mike. Big picture. If the playoffs were to end today type big picture stuff. How about that? Yeah?
I learned that
what did you learn
you
today?
Use if and maybe way too much for my comfort.
For the Broncos? Because you're the only one on the planet that's like, they're going to lose every single game. You have to do it. And you're also the guy that's like, I hate doing if the playoffs were to start today. And you're sitting here talking about them getting a number one seed, predicting them to win the Super Bowl every year. And you give me a hard time. Texter from the 970, Bills will blast KC. Broncos, take over. Take care of Love Ya Blue Boys of H-Town. Old Oilers had a great theme song. Broncos go two up over the Chiefs. John, Fort Fun.
I call them the Cheats.
The Chiefs. The Cheats?
Yeah, the Kansas City Cheats.
Pretty creative. Pretty creative, Mike.
More like fitting.
Eastside Chris is saying, Die Hard, at least my, therefore Die Hard is a Christmas movie. He's saying Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie. It's an action movie. It just happens to be around Christmas time.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and it's also the type of fan I am.
It's not a Christmas theme, though, Mike. It's not a Christmas theme. So, fun show today. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. No Rams Weekly this week. Kevin is out. It's the bye week for the Rams coming up, so we won't have Rams Weekly tomorrow, but we'll be back at it for your regularly scheduled whole show program tomorrow at 11.
It's a bye week, but last week was a bye-bye
week. Bye-bye week. Well, 2 weeks, was, you know, the last 2 weeks have been kind of bye-bye weeks. All right, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.